Who knows what may come next?
Having trouble with your thingamajig? Can't get the doovie watsy to interface with the clickety bit? Given up all hope of the digital wingwong working? Yeah, well, we hear your pain, Australia. So now please welcome the only man in the world who can simultaneously program the set-top who's it, reformat the doovalacky, and upload the whatchamacallit in three different languages. It's Paul Verhoeven in Nerds of a Feather.
Our favourite lanky and informative devil. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys doing?
All right. Thanks.
Good Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I got to see Lindsay play guitar. It was awesome.
I got to play guitar. It was tops.
Oh, brilliant. I actually went down to the nearby park where, you know, people tend to get married on Valentine's Day, like en masse. There's a park near where I live where there were about four or five separate weddings. So I went down. It's a bit like that. But what's fun is if you wander around and try and insert yourself into the background of their photos. Does it make me a bad person that, like, I pulled faces and basically I'm hoping that in the future these grooms will kind of, like, call me up and say, will you win my photo? And then they'll offer me lots of gold and sandwiches. I like to think I'm planning for my future.
Or they'll hunt you down.
Yeah, pretty much.
And hurt you.
Let me explain this, because I pitched this story as Geek O'Clock, right? Let me explain this. Unix time is a system that counts the number of seconds from January 1st, 1970. Now, on Valentine's Day, at 10:31:30, it was exactly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0 o'clock.
In Unix time, yeah.
Not Unix time, which would in fact mean the time when you had your snip. Yeah, pretty much.
Unix time.
Which is much better than stop hammer time. That's just a much more painful way to do it.
Well, basically on Saturday, which was Valentine's Day, Clatches of Nerds, the globe over, kind of celebrated not Valentine's Day, but Unix time. Yeah, isn't that weird?
Why weren't they celebrating Valentine's Day? Surely they would have
What's more important is, why weren't they celebrating Florence Henderson's birthday? Carol Brady. For years, I still can't look at Formica or large families without getting aroused. Anyway, it was a big deal, basically. Parties went down in California, Washington, Kenya, Austria. I didn't attend, but they were described by several witnesses as orgies. Seriously, what do you do at that kind of party where for like one split second it's Unix time? And that leads me neatly to cats. Now, gadget of the week.
Very neatly.
Let's face it, cats are assholes. Sorry, but they are. If people acted like cats, they'd wear bells and have sex a lot, which many people do. Look, let's just all agree.
Freddie Mercury did. Jesters.
All enjoy
I don't know how sexually
as well.
Active they are.
I know those Morris dancers. They wear bells, don't they?
We're getting back to Unix O'Clock here.
Sorry.
It's our new segment, bells. Now, basically, if there was like a, you know, techie way to fix cats, I think we'd all agree that we'd all be impersonating that taco kid for a living. You know, the kid who's like, woo, tacos. No. You know, the taco kid who solves the taco problem and then his village makes him a god and then he ends up inevitably, you know, slumped over a heap of cocaine and... That's Scarface. Okay.
You've seen the second half of this ad, haven't you?
I have, the part that didn't air. Now, fortuitously, there is actually a solution. It's called the Controller Cat Remote Control. It's got 21 buttons spanning various optimistic functions, and it's now available for purchase. Now, it has such buttons as show affection and remain aloof, which I love. I think that's a factory setting for cats. Now, it not only looks awesome, but as far as I know, it might work on televisions, though why you'd need a television to stop scratching is beyond me. Also, if you pointed at a cat, I'd like to think that, and start pressing buttons, I'd like to think the cat would respond in this, like, haughty British accent. What on earth are you doing? But if you pointed at a dog, the dog would burst into flames and be warmed. Now, the third story, equally optimistic, gaming makes you a good person. Here's proof. Now, proper academic research, which I in no way made up to exonerate myself, says playing World of Warcraft makes you a better citizen, which sounds a tad Orwellian, but who doesn't like talking pigs and horses? I think I've misunderstood.
This is like when boys present research going, no, seriously, blowjobs make you smarter when you give them.
Yeah, seriously. Do you want economic collapse? Then, yeah.
How are you finding this research? How and where?
Well, this professor at the University of Wisconsin, Constance Steinhulker, has concluded that many aspects of the game reinforce what it means to be a good, productive citizen. For example, players learn to interact and communicate with people from all walks of life, and it can't advance too far into the game without help from others. Now, You also learn the ability to carry animals, weapons, potions, masonry, construction tools in one backpack, a la Mary Poppins, and it teaches you how to stab giant fishmen, which has many practical applications. Well, one. The game also reinforces scientific inquiry. It forces you to pursue knowledge rather than like just looking for an easy answer. To be fair, that could also be said of reading books, but you can't kill a fish man with a book unless like you sharpened a copy of Ulysses to a point or just read him some. Look, the moral of the story is I hate James Joyce.
Paul Verhoeven, sit down, have a breath and come back in a few minutes' time for part two of Birds of a Feather this morning.
I know that coming up is more reasons that I can't go into space. So to put us in the mood, here's Tom Waits and Cool Keith and their new musical outpouring, NASA.
What? Certainly one of the more odd collaborations.
Awesome!
In the history of music, but it worked. I mean, on paper, you'd think Tom Waits, Cool Keith together, really?
It's like the devils on horseback of the music world.
It's certainly
like a pig in a blanket.
It's certainly scary in its own way. NASA, NASA.
It's Squeaky Clean, Spike Jonze's brother, who has put out an album with a dude named DJ Zagon under the name NASA. North America, South America, that stands for, which are the different parts of the world they're from. This album features people like David Byrne from Talking Heads, Chuck D, Red Hot Chili Peppers, CSS, Yeah Yeah Yeah, Sean Lennon, and George Clinton, and...
So no friends, really?
No.
No good friends to pull in on your album.
Yeah, no, just a bunch of no ones, really. Yeah, absolutely. And Tom Waits and Cool Keith.
The Spirit of Apollo is the name of the album. Spacious Thoughts is that song just there. 23 after 8, and we have
the lovely Paul Verhoeven.
Morning. I now have this image of like Tom Waits trying to talk dirty, you know,
like in when Cool Keith did that Sex Style album. Okay, what? Don't worry. That's what I thought you were talking about. There's a lot of dirty talking on that album.
So we're talking about impulse buys.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, first of all, I want to apologise for ripping on James Joyce so heavily.
Why? Don't back down.
Well, see, VJ and I are having this argument about who was the better author, James Joyce or Judy Blume. Now, I think the answer's obvious. And at some point last night, I wrote down Tales of a Fourth Grade Dubliner, and I, there, God, it's me, Leopold Bloom. No one's going to get those jokes.
I like your literature jokes. Keep going with them.
Cheers.
I encourage you.
Thank you very much.
I say just keep them to your Twitter conversations with VJ.
Yeah, I should keep those to a dull roar. Now, impulse buys, yes. Up until recently, I've had like the manliest piggy bank you can possibly think of. I've had a working TARDIS, like a little TARDIS, so I can put money away and collect it in the future. But the thing is, it's a miniature time machine. It's not very dramatic. Well, I mean, I can make it materialise in front of the face of famous figures in history and punch them, but my latest acquisition is somewhat more cool. I got this piggy bank, right? It's a replica of the fertility idol from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Now, it's, you know the one Indy steals at the start of Raiders of the Lost Ark? It's big enough to clutch to my chest while being chased by a giant foam boulder. And I don't know Alfred Molina, but if I could pay him to, like, stand behind me every time I make a deposit and rub his fingers together while John Williams music. Anyway, look, it's a weird buy because I felt compelled to steal it on the grounds that if I did, I might have to escape the store and run to a nearby plane being chased by naked dudes with blow guns. Anyway, next story, Adam Samley theme song. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me backtrack a bit. In Wingerworth, which is apparently a place in England, a man named Leopold Robel has harassed two neighbours who are pensioners for more than 4 years, making them feel like prisoners in their own homes. Basically, they're suing him and he's been put in prison for 3.5 months. How did he do this? He whistled the Adams Family theme song every chance he got. I'm not joking. Basically, look, he's been locked up for 3.5 months for harassment.
For whistling the Adams Family theme song?
Yeah, whenever they got home, he'd whistle the theme at them. Whenever they left, he'd whistle it at them. Well, look, so it's okay when a bird does it, apparently, but not when a 50-year-old Englishman does it. Look, I don't know about you, but there's more effective methods of psychological warfare. The magistrate said he nearly destroyed their lives, and one of them went bald as a result. Look, the only way I can envisage this being considered cruel is if the couple didn't have any thumbs. So when it got to the point in the theme song, yeah. And they were like,
why?
Okay, now it's time for, frankly, my favourite moment of the week, which is reasons why Lindsay can't go to space. We need a jingle or something for this. Something
we do.
Just little.
Lindsay
little
can't
flourish.
Go to space. Lindsay can't go to space. Something like that.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah,
Adam's family.
Adam's family kind of
no, I knew what you were
the
doing.
The end. The crew.
I'm feeling it.
Okay.
Look, there's been a space crash, a big one. Last Tuesday, while we were talking, there was a crash between a derelict Russian military satellite and a working US Iridium commercial satellite in like the busiest part of near Earth space, about 500 miles above Earth.
There's a lot of space in space.
There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in space too.
Exactly. So these two things met. It was fate, basically. They crashed and they've generated an estimated tens of thousands of pieces of space junk that are going to keep circling Earth for like the next 10,000 years. Now, the reason Lindsay can't go to space is because you're not hardcore enough, Lindsay, to breaststroke and hack your way through tons of space rubble to reach, I don't know, let's say a princess and wake her up with a kiss.
You are, Lindsay.
Thanks.
You're hardcore enough. I've seen him wail. I've seen him shred.
I've seen him in a spacesuit. the Russian expert Solovyov said debris from the collision could stay in orbit for like 10,000 years, and these tiny fragments could threaten spacecraft because, like, they travel at a high orbiting speed, and you can't just get up there with like a vacuum in zero gravity. It's not only impossible; it's a badly written joke. The Russian scientist Dr. Orberg said, and this is a quote: "The collision offers a literally heaven-sent opportunity for the Obama administration to take forceful, visible, and long overdue measures to address a long-ignored issue of space debris." Look, now I'm visualising Obama floating around in a maid's costume with a vacum cleaner.
You know,
I think we've actually got a transmission from him, actually, from space.
Now, you know really? That guy ain't shit. Sorry, as motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Yeah. Nothing.
There you go.
So, that's
God.
It.
Oh, my Obama gland just kicked in. now, the chief said 800 kilometres is a very popular orbit which used by Earth tracking and communication satellites, which makes it sound like all the cool girls are going to orbit at 800 kilometres above the Earth. And mean girls would be very different without oxygen. Maybe better. I don't know.
Paul Verhoeven, it's been exhausting but delightful. Thank you very much, sir.
See you guys next week.
Thanks, Verhoeven.
Thank you very much to Steve, who's found photographic proof that actually I have made it into space. It's up on our blog now. Thank you very much, Paul. We can all have a look. Bobby, Marika, the doctor. On Triple J.